to tell you. I'm going to tell you from today's text that holiness makes you fall apart. That's my message. Okay? Holiness makes you fall apart. Then I'm going to make 3 points. Number one, your homiletics teacher say, don't ever preach 3-point sermons. Here we go. We fall apart because we see God. That's my first point. My second point, we fall apart because we are humans. Number three, we fall apart because we are unclean. I took these three ideas from the two because clauses in verse 5. So I'm going to read verse 5 in the King James Version. I think that version does this verse most justice. So I'm going to just read it from the King James Version. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What happens when we meet God? What is true worship? Well, Isaiah is very clear. He says, woe is me, I am undone. So I'm going to tell you, in a true worship, you fall apart. You fall apart. You know, a modern person looking at the Isaiah passage will wonder about this man. You know, I looked at it from the point of psychology and counseling. And I said, this man who says, woe is me, I am undone. This man needs help. He needs to get, number one, some counseling. Right? Come on. Religion is all about self-esteem. This man has no self-esteem. He needs help. So he needs to get counseling that make an inventory of his strengths. So he can just kind of take a look at himself and say, feel good about himself. What's going on here? I am undone. You know, the word in Hebrew here means, you're not supposed to say this in sermon, but I'm going to say it anyway. Nidmethi means to be destroyed. I am destroyed. So this man needs to, and he does this, you know, after looking at the seraphs and God. So this man needs to give up comparisons. He needs just to look at himself and feel good about himself and accept himself. What's wrong with Isaiah, right? And his worship is all wrong. In our worship, we're supposed to feel like $1 million afterwards, right? Lifted up, uplifted, feeling like a rooster with his chest out, you know, just inflated with the Spirit of God. Well, no wonder the cock crows thrice for most Christians. Well, here it tells us, however, that Isaiah fell apart. And this contrasts with the false worship in chapter 1. And I'm going to read you some of the words. It says, in verse 4, 1-4, sinful nation. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. These people have come to God in chapter 1 and they have despised the Holy One of Israel. And here is Isaiah looking at God, to whom the angels cry out, holy, holy, holy. And there's a contrast because the people in chapter 1, they feel good. They feel good about themselves. They have a lot of self-esteem. Here is Isaiah. I am undone. He falls apart. So holiness causes you to fall apart. That's Isaiah's number one message. And number two, in verses 11 through 12, it says, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifice, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings and of ram and of the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of he-goats? Who requires of you to trample on my court? And here is Isaiah, who looks upon God with his own eyes, not trampling around, but beating his heart and falling apart, being undone, unzipped. And this word here, to be destroyed, actually is the same word as to repent, to beat your breast, to be cut to your heart, as Luke says. After the people heard the preaching of Peter, they were cut to their hearts. It's the same word in the Septuagint as the one that occurs in Acts. People fall apart, folks, when they are in a true worship. And I'm going to say that there is something wrong with the worship that fails to open people up and bring them to their knees. I don't care what kind of music you have. I don't care what you bring to lift up the people. The worship's purpose is to bring you face to face with the holiness of God and bring you to your knees. And that's it. So why? Why does this happen? Now, Isaiah here tells us in this very, very beautiful statement that follows that we fall apart because, he says, we see our own humanity. My number one point, because we are humans. Now, Dr. Dukan sitting, standing back there, so I'm a little careful about this exegesis. But Dr. Dukan or no Dr. Dukan, I'm going to say it anyway. He can get me afterwards, but not now. Okay. So, he says, the Hebrew text reads as follows, because man, unclean lips, I. There is no verb. It's ki-ish, tamei shefetai manochi. It means no verb. You know what this means? The author is expecting you to supply the verbs. That means that this is a poetic text and gives you freedom to supply the verbs you want. So, is this an eisegesis? Yes, it is. Because I'm going to read. Well, you know, if there's nothing in there, you can put in whatever you want, right? So, the author is asking you to insert words. So, I can do whatever I want. Hallelujah. You know, in fact, this is one of the reasons I love reading Hebrew in the morning. That's when I get up in the morning, the first thing I like to do is read from the Old Testament in Hebrew and break the silence of the morning. And it's the grandest experience you can ever have. So I invite you to do that. And so I'm going to break up this whole statement in a little different way. He says, I am undone. And then I'm going to just take the first phrase that says, ki-ish, because, and then skip the rest and say, ki-ish, anochi, because I am a man. So he stands before God, and the first thing that he says is, I am a man. I am a man. I like this, because Isaiah is here, I'm supplying the word am, and I'm saying, I am a man. And then, I love what happens here because, you know, religion is about the question, who am I? That's what religion is. Who am I? But today, thanks to psychology and all the rest, you know, religion has sort of lost its place in society. This morning's New York Times reports that Americans are illiterate about religion. They asked questions about religion, and most people could not answer the most simple questions about religion. Here's the question they asked. Where was Jesus born? And people could not answer that. You know, with all the Christmas songs in the shopping malls, you know, old little town of Bethlehem? My goodness, how could they not get this? Okay? But most people did not know where Jesus was born. So, my friends, you know, psychology tells us that we are psychological beings, a sum total of our emotional past and development, destined for fulfillment and happiness in life. Sociology tells us that we are social beings, interconnected with each other in an intricate web of social relationships. I am no one unless someone I am related to exists. Beautiful concept, but not religion yet. History tells me that I am a historical being, a child of the zeitgeist of my time. I'm a child of the Weltanschauung. So you got to use German to talk about history. So, and then our anthropologists tell me that I am a cultural man. So I am a Korean, South Korean, by the way. Okay. And no relationship, in spite of my notoriety here in the seminary, no relationship to Kim Jong-il. Okay. So I am a culturally distinct being with my culturally specific values and behaviors. Wow, that's profound. So I'm a cultural being. Biology tells me that I am a bipedal mammal. Wow, great discovery. So I can walk on 2 feet, and I have some hair on my body, not on my chest, though. But anyway. Economy tells me that I am an economic being driven by bread, or in my case, rice, and money. But religion tells me that I am a holy being. Religion is about holiness. This is why Isaiah says, I am a man. He discovers God's holiness and he discovers his humanness. You cannot have humanness without God's holiness. This is why Revelation calls unbelievers beasts, because they know nothing about God's holiness. My friends, do you know God's holiness? Because God's holiness is what makes us humans. That is the point. And then, this is why we fall apart. We're so surprised to discover ourselves for the first time. Ki ish anoki. How beautiful, right? Secondly, he sees that he's unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips. But I decided to insert a different verb. Again, I'm sorry. But I want to say, in this case, since you have ish and tamei shofar time and anochi, I'm going to just take shofar time anochi by itself and say, I have unclean lips. I'm going to insert the verb have. I am a man and I have unclean lips. Because that's the way it reads. Ish. Tamei shofar time. Anochi. That's what it says. It doesn't say, I am a man. You could read this as a construct state, but you don't have to. That's the beauty of Hebrew, because only the consonants are inspired, not the vowels. Right? So you can do whatever you want. So, you don't have to accept the construct state. So, I have unclean lips. I'm a man of... in other words, first comes his discovery of his humanness, but then comes the description of himself. And in contrast to God's holiness, he says, I am unclean. And that is the reason that he falls apart. You know, we fall apart when we see God because we are so unclean. Woe is me. And it's not like I'm a sinner. You know, that's too general for Isaiah. He says, I'm a man of... I'm going to use the English translation. What would you put? I'm a man of unclean what? You need to have an organ there. We can't commit sins without an organ, right? So he says he realized that the organ that was giving him, the body part that was giving him most trouble was his lips. He was going to be a preacher. So he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. So my friends, what kind of man are you? You're a man of unclean what? You supply the adjective there. You supply the verb, the noun, and tell me what you're unclean about. Because you got to know what you're unclean about. You know, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner is not enough. I'm a sinner is not enough. It's the overwhelming sense of uncleanness. Our age is a defiled age of immorality, my friends. This is an age of complaints. This is an age of violence. We hear about these every day. And yet humans fail to cry out, I am unclean. That's why this world is not cleansed. That's why this world is so unholy. The sad thing is many people coming out of our worship fail to cry, I'm unholy, I'm unclean. Isaiah here stands before God and says, I am a man of unclean lips. What are you? What am I? Well, third point, we fall apart because we see God. He says, for I have seen, mine eyes have seen. But you know this, mine eyes in Hebrew comes at the end. Ra'u einau. My eyes have seen. Comes at the very end. What has he seen? Et hamelech Adonai. I've seen the King, the Lord. You know, I'm a New Testament scholar. So I'm going to be a little biased here. And I'm going to say, I've seen the King, the Lord Jesus. This is my Lord. And I've seen the Lord Tsebaoth, Almighty God, my Lord, mine eyes. And when I see God, I fall apart. Isaiah covered his face when he met God. Jacob wrestled with God in gripping fear all night, thinking that God was his enemy. Even sinless angels covered their feet, their faces. They covered themselves in shame. Well, maybe. Does religion foster low self-esteem? Maybe. Self-loathing. A lot of self-loathing I've seen. So I break up. I don't like myself. I'm unclean. Maybe religion fosters low self-esteem, some say. I don't think so. Not when you compare yourself to God. Amen. See, there's the deadly type where you compare yourself to another human being. You know, the seminary is a pretty scary place. And I can tell you that now. I mean, I come to the seminary and I've been scared ever since I came here. I mean, the professors here really scare me every day, I tell you. You know, I think of the mighty and authoritative, deep-voiced preaching of Dr. Clifford Jones. And I can't preach. My response is, get me out of here. I think of Dr. Dukan, his wisdom and his penetrating insight into the text. And I say, get me out of here. But when mine eyes see the King, God, I say, I'm unclean. Then I say, send me. I can go. See, I can have confidence. I can have confidence. Because mine eyes have seen the King of glory. So, is your life falling apart? Do you need physical comfort? And you're uneasy, or your years are going by and you're enjoying life less? Try God. Try God. Let your eyes behold the glory of God and fall apart and find out who you are in the name of the Lord. May the blessings remain upon you this day and forward. Amen.
The piano trio will play a hymn called Kingsford. It is in the hymnal. There's actually two hymns that go with this, but the one you might want to follow as we play it is hymn 465. This is the postlude. Let us stand for the benediction. Almighty God, it has been our privilege today to see you. May we fall apart, Lord, at your feet, and be lifted up by Jesus our Lord. Amen.